Michael Cooney's written a book called The Gillard Project. He was a speechwriter to Prime Minister Julia Gillard. He was also a policy director to Federal Labor leaders Kim Beazley and Mark Latham, and was there when lines like this were delivered.
Friends, this is the Labor way. This is the Australian way. We follow it simply because we are us.
Michael Cooney, good morning. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well. I've been listening to your show since Chris Nielsen hosted it, so I'm really glad to be on.
Does that line still haunt you?
Oh, yes.
Because after all, you've got to fess up, you wrote it.
I wrote it, and I was. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
So, when you hear it back now, do you think, oh dear, what was I thinking?
It is it's a funny story, really. Like, that bit of that speech was in the speech from the first draft I did and went through 60 versions, and it never sounded funny to any of us, and we heard the PM rehearse it, and it didn't sound funny, and it just did sound funny, right? So, yeah, I do. I devote a solid chapter to a post-mortem of the We Are Us speech, yes.
Yes. Indeed, there are also other infelicities, such as this one.
Labor says yes to Australia's future.
Of course, a thing that was made much of by Kevin Rudd, who was trying to busily undermine Julia Gillard at the time.
Yeah, we won't quote him on Breakfast Radio, but yes, he didn't like that line either. Yeah. And I think in some ways that was meant to be a contrast with what we said was Tony Abbott in his sort of Dr. No phase, and his sort of attachment to the past, but it probably didn't quite say enough, did it?
Your book is a great paean of love and praise to Julia Gillard, who you obviously feel great affection for, and as a human being, you paint her in the warm tones that those up close, in an intimate way, say, often speak about her as. As a Prime Minister, she often looked awkward and failed to connect and had those awkward moments some of which we've just played now. Why is that? Did you get any insight into why the warm human being that you talk about so lovingly, really, in your book didn't translate to a public persona?
I think part of it is the PM's shyness, really. She's quite a reserved person, really, and so she's not an easy person to get to know. I think also we made, from the start, political errors that cemented a negative image of Julia, particularly around the handling of the leadership transition and then the handling of the early phases of the announcements of our plans on carbon pricing. So I think those things were pretty definitive. But I also think that she's a very determined person who had set herself a pretty high task, and that is tough. And so I think she sort of had a style of holding a fair bit back that had served her well for a long time in politics and the law, but you move into a different space as Prime Minister and you need to show people more of yourself, and I think that Julia would consider something that she wasn't ultimately successful in doing.
I mean, a friend of mine once said that she looked at her worst when she was trying to please, that when she was herself she always looked better, and indeed sometimes when she got cranky she could be truly magnificent.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not. And the government will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man.
It was pretty remarkable stuff, wasn't it? Went around the world.
Just made the hair stand up on the back of my neck just then, actually.
No, it still works again.
It was an amazing moment.
Yeah, it still works again. Where did that come from?
I'll say that I think the PM wrote that speech in the shower every day for 3 years and finally had a chance to deliver it. She, there'd been that moment came at the end of a long period of extraordinary personal detractions of her, and all politicians are scrutinised and criticised. But the stuff that stuck to Julia Gillard because she was a woman was really revolting, and it infected every part of our politics at the time. And there's the other thing that was just in that moment. The Tony Abbott said that the government should have died of shame only a short time after the astonishing Alan Jones remarks about her father. And I think that really pushed her to tilt, and rightly. It was a pretty bad day, and she gave him what he deserved.
Your book's also about the hot house atmosphere of working in a political campaign office and the frustrations of that. The frustrations of a speechwriter too, which you were, and seeing your work get butchered. You're not the first to write about this. No. Jamie Button, who was writing for Rudd, has a similar experience of trying to write for a leader. It's tough, isn't it, trying to find a leader's voice?
Peggy Noonan, who wrote for Reagan, has this wonderful expression about how sending the draft out for comment felt like sending a beautiful unicorn into a jungle to come back all torn with flesh and arrows through its body and so on. And then she says, but maybe I understate. it's a contested process. On its good days, it's collaborative, but it's more often a contested creative process. Yeah, and look, part of the nature of writing for a prime minister rather than just writing, nice speeches to give at book launches or something is that it's also announcing policy and making decisions. And so it's not just a literary exercise. And so all those compromises are necessary, but they're not much fun sometimes. Mm.
You paint a picture too sometimes you get the impression of a leader buffeted by, conflicting advice, some of it not very good and unsure of herself. But the picture you paint is of a woman and a leader very much at home and at one with her staff too.
Yeah, part of what I'm nostalgic about in a way, and what I enjoyed most was the unity of the staff group. I think staff probably get a bit of a rough run in Australian public conversation, and what political advisors do is quite important, and not very thankful. And certainly Julia was grateful and treated people properly in private, which is a credit to her.
Yeah, well, witness the public lynching of Peter Credlin at the moment. After all, he's just
I mean, and part of the reason for that is the staff don't talk back typically, so it's pretty easy to take a shot at someone who's obviously got a public role but doesn't do their own media, and people are much more reluctant to criticise someone who'll actually go on radio the next day and tell you why you're wrong.
Mm. Yes, exactly. Well, congratulations on the book. It's as I say, an intimate read. We don't get enough of these, really, as a look on the inside. Michael Kearney's book, The Gillard Project, My 1,000 Days of Despair and Hope. And you'd hope there's more hope than despair these days.
There was. There was. There was a narrow majority of hope, yes.
Good on you, Michael. Thanks for that. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man.
Yes, it's even got set to music. Rob Davidson teaming with Australian Voices. Talk tomorrow.